Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second half hour of our discussion, Famous American Quotes, little trivia quiz that Pastor Chatfield's conducting this morning. I've got answers. They're all right. But Tim was the first one. Becky was second. All the others were behind him. It was MacArthur that said that.
Correct. Joint session of Congress. You know, yes. He did his duty. He, as you remember, MacArthur was fired by Harry Truman because they had disagreements on how the Korean War should be conducted, and MacArthur did not obey an order. And it's a foundational principle. We have civilian control of the military. The military must follow the commander-in-chief. And now MacArthur, I'll give you another one of MacArthur. Did I write this one down? I think I did. Hang on, I'm looking. Here's MacArthur said this. In war, there is no substitute for victory. Which is true. In war, there is no substitute for victory. By the way, as you've, your friend and my acquaintance anyway, Dave Ajima, has been saying things like that for a long time concerning our war with Iran. We got to win the war. You just have to win it. You're in war, you can't just pull out and declare victory. I suppose you can. But it's going to be a mess no matter what happens. But in war, there is no substitute for victory. I don't think that regime in Iran can be trusted. We've said that for weeks. Now, war is on again. Is anybody really surprised? No. We're not surprised. We're just going to have to win that war. Simply win it. That's all there is to it. We have to win the war.
Well, hold on. That goes back to that link I sent you. Mr. President,
yes.
Finish the job.
Right.
And
it does.
Isn't it amazing how course of events, you know, we had a deal, memorandum of understanding, we're going to fix this, it's over, it's done, oil started dropping, then all of a sudden something happened that ticked off Donald Trump, and he said, you know what, I believe he's going for regime change. He said, did you hear what he said to that one reporter on Air Force One, eliminating the Iranian Republican Guard very, very much the same way he did to ISIS? Did you hear his answer?
I did not. Absolutely.
President Trump, without hesitation, right out of his mouth, absolutely. He's done with those guys. You can't trust them.
Right. Right. Now, by the way, let me just say this to the listeners. You believe me or not. I don't blame you for not believing me, but I believe it's true. You're not going to get – Iran is not ready for a Republican form of government. You need to get something somewhat of a benevolent dictator, somebody who can maintain order and allows certain freedoms, maybe a monarch, but somebody that can contain, keep order going, because it's not ready. They're not ready for this. Now, let me give you another. I'm going to skip ahead here, give you a quote, and that you, I'm not even sure I believe it, but who said this? And I'm not sure I believe it. In a certain context, maybe. Who said this? I'll give you a hint. It is a president said this. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. The Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Then he said, it's a natural manure. One more time. The Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants.
This goes back to our founding fathers?
Yes, it does.
This goes back somebody who signed the Declaration of Independence.
Correct.
This goes back to somebody who is not a president.
Incorrect. Became a president.
He ultimately became a president.
Yes. The Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. This person supported the French Revolution. His longtime friend, then political adversary, then friend again, did not. And I'm more with John Adams than I am this person on this idea.
Well, Becky Thomas was Jefferson. First. Yeah, Becky was first. Tim was second. I kind of thought it was Jefferson, but somebody else. Oh, I remember. It was not John Adams, but Samuel Adams. Remember his Sons of Liberty, the tavern he had in Boston?
Sure.
He wrote something very similar to that. I'm trying to remember his phraseology.
Sam Adams was a revolutionary, more than his cousin John.
Yes.
John was a little more conservative, whereas Jefferson, look, in Iran, you say, well, we're going to walk away and let them settle it. You're going to have a civil war. You cannot impose liberty. You cannot impose a Republican form of government. You can impose a monarchy. You say, well, hey, we don't believe in monarchies. Yeah, well, monarchies bring stability. And maybe after 100 years of monarchy, they can move to a constitutional monarchy and then eventually to something like Britain has a, you know, ceremonial monarchy. But you cannot impose liberty. Countries are not ready for Republican forms of government. Iran's not ready. Iraq wasn't ready. We tried that in Iraq and we get ISIS. Doesn't work. History should teach you that. Does not work. Now, what will happen is you will get some strong man, and strong man have to be strong, and he's going to, people will die. Then we'll have people, oh, look at all the people dying. Yeah, well, it's not as bad as what the 40,000 to 90,000 that the clerics of Iran murdered in the last year or two. It's terrible. You have to make a little improvement. Oh, that's my opinion. Let me give you another quote. I'm not sure I would have gotten this one. I might have. I've heard it before. Who said this? It is better to offer no excuse than a bad one. It is better to offer no excuse than a bad one.
Whoa, that one. What? Okay, you got to get some clues on that bad boy. What year? What context? What?
Okay, let me put it way back. One of our first presidents.
First president.
No.
What? Give me a decade at least, or a year.
Okay, 17. I think he's. I'm not sure exactly when he said this, but in the 1770s, I think.
Okay.
But it could have been. It could have been a little bit later.
Is when he said. When he said it. Okay.
Yes. Correct. Yes.
And ultimately became one of our presidents.
Correct.
Okay. Say one of the our quote, first presidents. Say the quote. Say the quote again.
And it's just wise. It is better to offer no excuse than a bad one.
No excuse than a bad one.
It is better to offer no excuse than a bad one.
Jeff from Sheboygan says, that one sounds like my mom.
There you go. Sounds like me as a teacher. I tell you, while the people are thinking about this, I tell the kids at school, don't come into class and say, well, I didn't do my homework because the dog ate
my
it.
Homework. Right.
Or, you know, we were out. I was at my cousin's house. I said, why don't you just come back and say, You know, I didn't do my homework because I was lazy. I'm a lazy bum, and I didn't do it.
And I have a little extension. I didn't do it. Okay,
Because I'm a lazy.
Becky's got this one from Indianapolis, George Washington.
Correct. I mean, he was very wise.
She must be Googling this. She's got to be Googling these answers. Come on, Becky. Come to Jesus. Tell us the truth.
No. So Google it. So what?
Yeah, you're still participating. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Who said this? And I'll give you a hint. It was the title of a speech, but it was in the speech. A house divided against itself cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand.
Okay. Now, this sounds like a founding father. Is that accurate?
No.
Oh, okay. Becky's got a question mark on her answer, but go ahead.
It's called the House Divided speech.
Oh.
What it's called.
Well, that's Abraham Lincoln.
Correct. And he was saying
Becky
this country cannot...
Becky had it first. I have to admit, Becky had it first, though.
This country cannot... permanently survive, half slave, half free. I don't expect the house to fall, Lincoln said. But I do expect it to become all one thing or the other. All right. Here's one you'll never get because I would not have gotten it, but it's a good one. I would not have gotten this. I just found it. And he did. It's from a president, but not when he was president. January 16th, 1936. It wasn't FDR saying this, although FDR was president at the time. He said this. Blessed are the young, for they shall inherit the national debt.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are the young, for they shall inherit the national debt. I mean, it's this playoff on the Lord Jesus's, you know, beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the young, for they shall inherit the national debt. Our national debt now, I just wanted to double check today, $39.6 trillion. I don't think that even takes into account the debt that we have to Social Security. We're so far in debt, we can hardly calculate it. Herbert Hoover.
John got it up in Pulaski with a question mark. Okay, Herbert Hoover.
Yep, Herbert Hoover. I mean, he was blamed for the Depression. He didn't do enough, people said. Whereas it was FDR that set us on this path, now called quantitative easing. It's called Keynesian economics, that you prime the pump, spend more money that you've got, create debt to get the economy going. In the end, it didn't work. In the end, it was World War II that got us out of the Depression, in my view. Okay, here's another one. I'm moving quickly here. I'll never get through all these. Who said this? Not one of my favorite presidents, but this is true. March 4th, 1933, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
False evidence appearing real. Acronym for fear. Take a short break. Hold that thought right there past Jeff Field. We'll get the answer on the other side. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Get ready, Michigan. Saturday, July 25th, Rock Michigan Red comes to Liberty Mountain USA in Farwell, Michigan in Clare County. Don't miss the Motor City Madman himself, Ted Nugent, live on the mountain for a night of music, energy, and Michigan pride. Bring your friends, bring your family, and be part of one unforgettable summer event at Liberty Mountain USA. For tickets and full event details, go to libertymountainusa.com, click on events, and get your tickets today.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat and terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
I'm Justin Michael. For over 500 consecutive days, I've worked diligently to earn your respect by having difficult conversations in every town, city, village, and township in our district. I've driven over 100,000 miles to meet you where you are, at your businesses, in your homes, and in your communities. On August 4th, you get to decide if you want leadership that says they will represent you once they get to Washington, or someone who represents you now. It's time for change. Vote for me, Justin Michael, on August 4th. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement: to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788. 346-1788.
Okay, everybody says you're getting easy in your old age, Pastor Chatfield. They said these questions are too easy. That was, of course, FDR.
Correct. All right, here's some. These are military. I'll give you that much of a hint. These are a little bit harder. Okay. I have not yet begun to fight. He was on his ship, the Bonhomme Richard, against the HMS Serapis during the Revolutionary War, and the captain of the British says, are you ready to surrender? And this became a very famous naval saying to this day. I have not yet begun to fight.
Okay, let the people check in on this one here. Let's see.
You know, when the Revolution started, we didn't have much of a Navy at all. So we had a few victories, and this is one of them. This is a great rallying cry. I think it is still a Navy rally cry. I think I've heard, you know, that everybody in the Navy should know this. I have not yet begun to fight, when he was asked to surrender.
Okay, anybody going to answer this one? Let's see. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, Becky in Indianapolis says John Paul Jones, and John in Petoskey says Nathan Hale.
John Paul Jones.
Tim Rowan was the first to get it. Okay, go ahead.
Jones. Yep. Okay, here's one that's similar. Another war. Let me give you the guy's name. The guy's name was General Anthony McAuliffe. But a German sent a message during the Battle of the Bulge. He was held up, his unit was held up in the siege of Bastogne during the Battle of the Bulge, December 22nd, 1944. One word. He responded to the demand for surrender with one word. And it's almost funny. Anybody know? General Anthony McAuliffe.
McAuliffe. Yeah, McAuliffe. It was only one word, not two?
One word. Surrender. Yeah, because, I mean, the Battle of the Bulge was the last gasp of Germany during World War II. They threw everything they had for one more offensive, thought they could get to the port of Antwerp, get some fuel, and maybe get some momentum, maybe flank the American, the divide the American forces. They were doomed. It was a bad, in the end, it was a bad decision. But this was the last gasp. They threw everything they had at the Battle of the Bulge. And they did really, it's called the Battle of the Bulge because they pushed the American lines back. Really surprised the Americans, but they lost. What was McAuliffe's one-word response? Anybody?
Nobody has it.
Nuts.
Oh, wait a minute. She did. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Oh, are you kidding? Becky in Indianapolis said nuts with a question mark.
Nuts. That's it. Nuts.
Nuts.
We're not sure. And they held on, and then they were relieved by Patton. And Patton was a I got some quotes I'm not going to be able to get to. Okay, this is from the War of 1812 concerning the Battle of Lake Erie, 1813. Who said this? We have met the enemy, and they are ours. That's how we got the message back to Madison, who was president of the United States during the War of 1812. And this we have met the enemy.
Okay.
1813.
1813.
We have met the enemy, and they are ours.
And they are ours. Anybody out there? I don't know. I have no clue on that one. Let's give them a couple seconds here.
We have met the enemy, and they are ours.
And this is something I tell you about for church all the time. No dead air. And I'm letting dead air. I'm letting dead air take place. Oh, hey, wait, I got one. Mike says Andrew Jackson?
No, right war. Wrong theater. This was said on the Battle of Lake Erie, where they had to go up there and they built their navy, built a ship, and went out there and defeated the British. It's called Oliver Hazard Perry. Hazard Perry defeated the British in the Battle of Lake Erie. Okay, amazing. One more. I've got tons more, but I'll just have
wrap them up, and maybe we'll do them next Friday.
Well, this is one more. I shall return.
Jesus
1942.
Christ.
1942. Okay, true. John chapter 14, he did say that. That's not who I'm thinking of. Not who I'm thinking of.
You're talking what year? What time frame?
World War II, 1942. He was ordered by Roosevelt, you got to leave the Philippines. A submarine came in, picked him up, and took him out. And about 3 years later, another quote, have returned.
I have returned. John was first, Douglas MacArthur.
Correct. I used the one, I shall return. And then when he came back, he said, I have returned.
Okay, Becky's not Googling it because she just answered from Indianapolis. She said it was Patton or Eisenhower. So she got him wrong. So she was being a good girl. She knows her history. So out of most answers, Becky from Indianapolis came in first place today. Tim was close second.
Okay.
Hey, that's it for today, sir.
I hope it was fun.
Yes,
hey, man, I hope it was
appreciate
fun.
It was a blast. Thank you so much. Pastor Sheffield, right, we'll see you on the radio 11 to noon on Sunday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Final hour of today's show. I'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
This is Perry Johnson, the Trump conservative for governor. I'm an outsider businessman, not a career politician. I spent my life bringing quality and efficiency to over 60,000 companies. In fact, they call me the